As I was writing this, I realized that previous sermons had always had a George Carlin quote, so it has become tradition. Thank you for joining us here today, and a special thank you to Margaret Knoll for our accompaniment. It gives me a comfort because it's been a while since I have been up here. I promised last time that I would go away and do research and come back and report to you. So this is the report. The title of the sermon is Atheist Spirituality. So Unitarian Universalists recognize seven principles and also six sources of our religion. And we mention the seven principles often. But until recently, I didn't really know much about our sources. I've been searching for faith my entire life, and I have never found it. And yet, I have found a faith community here with you. So how does this work? Exploring this question is part of my experience here. What does a sermon sound like from someone who won't be talking about God? And interestingly, I think this dichotomy is summed up by comparing two of the sources of our UU religion. My own education and my own passion is situated squarely in the source, humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. I am very good at doubt. My name is Thomas, after all. Okay. And there are times when I feel that my best service to any group is to be that guy that sticks his head in the room and cheerfully, loudly, but also unoffensively says, "Yeah, I doubt it," or "Have a good day, but I don't think so," and then I go. So, however, that by itself is not a rewarding religious experience. That's just being a curmudgeon. And I've got a few years yet before I qualify. So several years ago, I heard a phrase that intrigued me, and it has stuck with me ever since. I would say it resonates, but so far it's more like glue or gum. It's sticky. It won't go away. And that phrase is spiritual atheism. The last time I stood here, I presented my search for spiritual atheism. And I searched in comedy. I searched in philosophy. I searched in books about spiritual atheism. And eventually, I came to a well-written and thoughtful book called Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. And the author is the humanist chaplain of Harvard University. And in his last chapter about the extended community of humanism, he devoted a section to, of all things, Unitarian Universalists. So my search came back home. So I think that somewhere in that phrase is a home for me. And I want to find spiritual atheism here at REEB, my congregational home. When I continued to explore the sources of UUism, the sources we affirm and promote, I also discovered these words: direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. So that seems to be the opposite of humanist teachings, science, and avoiding idolatries of the mind and spirit. I believe that spiritual atheism is a bridge between these two sources. So the first and most immediate response to what am I doing here giving a sermon is that I am sharing my search with you and hopefully finding a safe harbor here at REEB for atheists and this very doubt-filled atheist standing in front of you. And there is certainly room for this here and within the UU community. And I am here, though, for more reasons, just to lend my support to people who believe in things. So what can I name as spiritual? How can I claim it as my own? Well, the idea of spiritual is notoriously difficult to define. If you just do a simple internet search for the word spirituality, it will probably bring up more posts about the lack of a clear definition than an actual definition. And in the end, talking about what a thing isn't is not enough. We must say what a thing is so that we can explore it, critique it, change it, and ultimately practice it. And it's the same for the word atheism. The Greek origin of the word is atheos, not God. Again, not is not enough. Now, of course, after this, I went to the internet, and I did find that in 2015, a study was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology titled Awe, A-W-E, The Small Self and Pro-Social Behavior. And in that study, Paul Piff found that after we experience awe, we behave more positively. We behave with more altruism, more loving kindness, and we are simply more forgiving. And that's exciting in itself, but I was also excited to see a definition of awe that strikes me as a good way of understanding spirituality, too. In the study, the authors describe awe as that sense of wonder we feel in the presence of something vast that transcends our understanding of the world. And they note that we find this feeling often in nature, but also in our experiences with religion, art, and music. And that sounds like a touchstone for understanding spirituality to me. It also matches the first source of our living tradition that I cited, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. So the summary of this study also points out that this sense of awe can happen in everyday circumstances. You don't have to climb a mountain to feel awe. You can feel it when you see a sudden rainbow or when you tear up while singing the chorus of Blue Boat Home, which I do. So for me, the spiritual occurs at those moments when language stops, it doesn't work, and you find yourself in a place with an emotion of connection on a greater scale than just one-to-one. These moments of awe and connection, when we stop thinking and talking and simply experience being part of a greater world, may happen more often than you realize. You can feel this connection at a performance, maybe even a movie. Or how about when you see a representation of the scale of the universe, usually on the internet, and it begins with a model of our planet, and then it pulls back to show how small it is compared to Jupiter, and then that pulls back to show how small Jupiter is compared to the sun, and it goes on, and the comparison and the movement show how small but yet how precious we are on a galactic scale. So years ago, I was on the bus going home from work, and a woman came on carrying a balloon. And there was a child in a stroller already on the bus, and that child was enchanted by that balloon. And that was very heartwarming to see. It was very charming. Then the woman gave the child her balloon. Not to hold it, but to keep it. It was a simple act. It was a recognition that the ultimate purpose of this combination of Mylar and helium was to bring joy. And the child was delighted. She was joyful. And I could feel a ripple, a sort of hum, a wave of goodness run all along that bus, among all of us. That was a spiritual moment, and it has stayed with me ever since. And another example, last year I was on vacation with my partner, and our motel looked out over a lake. And in the early morning, the sunlight hit the mist on the lake, and it created a rainbow. And that was beautiful, but what was really remarkable is that I just gasped and stared. And for a moment, I was without words, and I was filled with wonder. My partner didn't feel the same. He was looking for the coffee maker. But I felt connected to him and to the landscape we were in at that moment. And in fact, it actually took a couple minutes before I pulled myself together and found my camera and attempted in vain to capture the awe that I felt in that moment. Like, the picture is fine, but the awe was left there. It could not be stored away and kept for later. So I gasped the next day when it appeared again. Again, I was that child on the bus, having just been given a bright, shiny, totally enchanting balloon. So according to the study, I was also more likely to be altruistic, magnanimous, and to practice loving kindness after that. So I believe in this. I believe in atheist spirituality. And I am looking for where we might find this experience of awe here at Reeb. Is it within our tradition, Or is my spiritual practice going to be sort of a string of these moments? I can keep a scrapbook of lovely moments like these, but again, that would be a history of the spirituality, not the thing itself. So why am I here? Is there a place in the UU liturgy for atheist spirituality? And can I find it within the guidelines of our principles or our sources? And there is one principle that helps me understand how I can find spiritual... blah, blah, blah. There is one... I need to slow down. I'm getting very excited. So there is one principle that helps me understand how I can find spirituality in this lived world that is of this world. Our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. As I dug deeper into stories of these moments of spirituality, of connection to a greater world than what is available to us day to day, I kept finding nature. In the study of about awe, the experimenters instilled that sense of awe by sending people to stand for a few minutes in a grove of trees. The experiment was performed on the UC Berkeley campus, and handily, there is a grove of eucalyptus trees that were planted there in 1882. Somehow, among all the changes to the landscaping, the grove survived, and now the eucalyptus are up to 210 feet tall. And in fact, they are the tallest hardwood trees in North America. So the participants stood in the grove and looked up at the trees for a few minutes, and that's all it took. There was a control group that was asked to stand near a tall building and look up at it. They did not experience awe. So once I noticed this connection, I started to find it all over. Often literature links these together. For example, John Muir saw the eternal in nature when he wrote, "This grand show is eternal. It is always sunrise somewhere. The dew is never all dried at once. A shower is forever falling. Vapor is ever rising. Eternal sunrise, eternal sunset, eternal dawn and gloaming on sea and continents and islands, each in its turn as this round earth rolls." And in the Sierra Club's magazine, in an article titled "The Science of Awe," the author, Jake Abrahamson, described what happened after an intense and very awesome storm. He writes that he and the youth he was leading, quote, "seemed to emerge from their tents at the exact same instant. The air was heavy and hot, the sky a color I had never imagined. Time slowed. The mountains, the people, and the river flowing through it all seemed held together by an intelligent pattern. The frustration of the day's paddle was wiped away. I felt benevolent and open toward the kids. Making dinner was easy. The storm had pulled us together." So I returned to our principles. Much as John Muir and Jake Abrahamson found a connection to something greater than themselves that connected them to the world, much as Paul Piff and his colleagues sent their subjects into the midst of a grove of 200-foot-tall eucalyptus trees to find awe, when we explore the seventh principle, it is sending us somewhere. It is sending us towards sources of spirituality. One of our own spiritual leaders indicated this. This is the Reverend Forrest Gilmore. And he wrote, "Our seventh principle may be our Unitarian Universalist way of coming to fully embrace something greater than ourselves. The interdependent web expressed as the spirit of life, the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community-forming power, the process of life, the creative force, even God, can help us develop that social understanding of ourselves that we in our culture so desperately need. It is a source of meaning to which we can dedicate our lives." Our principles are simple statements. They are like a map. They indicate where to search, but in themselves, they are pointers. They're not the thing itself. Likewise, awe and spirituality are an experience rather than just a word or a concept. These words describe a feeling when our lived experience is of something greater than ourselves. In a previous sermon, I talked about how I love dragons and unicorns, but I don't get to talk about how they are real creatures. I may have misspoken then. I should have said I love fantasy books. I love works of fiction that create a world that I can believe in, where actual creatures of real magic exist and interact with human characters. But in the end, I put down the book. However, the grove of eucalyptus is real. I can't put it down. I can't think it away. I can't read it into existence. It simply is. I was curious about that grove, so I went to Google Maps to find it. And there are great panoramic shots someone took from within the grove. And I looked at them, but no awe. A picture of a grove is not enough. We must stand in its midst. So like a Google Map street view of a eucalyptus grove, our principles are pointers. They are maps to those places and things in our world that Unitarian Universalism has found our sources, places to go and find spirituality. I know the sight of a rainbow in the morning through a steamed-up window can make me gasp in admiration and simply stare. In the future, I will also see if I can find awe in other principles. I have some doubts about, quote, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, unquote. But I will keep you posted from my place under the trees. Thank you.